When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Picture it, Los Angeles, 2024.
Welcome. Oh my God. Hi. This is Out on the Lanai, the only Golden Girls podcast you're ever going to need to listen to. I am H. Allen Scott / Sadie Pines.
I'm Carrie Doherty, and today we're doing a Beyond Golden Girls episode where we cover the many film and TV projects that the women did outside of the Golden Girls during the course of their illustrious careers. And
I'm so excited.
H. Allen Scott is frenetically waving because today we are breaking down the first part of an iconic episode of Mama's Family, featuring both Betty White and Rue McClanahan and a million other Golden Girls references. It is season one, episode three, The Wedding, part one. And you can watch it on Pluto.
Okay, that's all we can do. Wow. Mama's Fam. Oh my God, Mama's Family.
So I know you have so much to say.
I feel like I have brought, I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know how much love Mama's Family has in the Golden Girls community. I feel like it's a lot. I feel like it's a lot. But I don't have a read on it because Mama's Family has always been kind of a niche sitcom that isn't sort of like it's not the Golden Girls, it's not the Roseanne level, it's not the Friends level. It's not a massive, massive, massive show. It's a small show that I feel like if when you meet someone who likes Mama's Family and you like Mama's Family, that it's even deeper than the Golden Girls one because it's so weird to have a Mama's Family obsession. Do you know what I mean?
Well, now I do. I'm going to admit I had never seen Mama's Family
before last night.
And
but also doesn't shock me because you're from the East Coast and I feel like it was very much a Southern Midwestern thing.
Perhaps. But Stan, every now and again, I'll be watching something on the TV instead of like on my laptop or on my phone with headphones in. Mm-hmm. And Stan was sitting on, we have this giant beanbag chair for Lil' Oreo. Stan was sitting on it looking at the TV and he's like, wait, how is everybody related? I'm confused. They're sisters, but they're the same age and she's their mom, but she's like clearly younger. I actually had to look it up to figure out who, because I was like, wait, are they just calling her mama or is that her actual mama?
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was a blast. It felt like theater. It was very funny. Everybody was very funny. I enjoyed it. I enjoy sitcoms that still feel like theater. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. It was weird, but I enjoyed it.
Well, and you know why it was weird? And this is why I think this is partly what makes Mama's Family so unique is in order for you to enjoy Mama's Family, you have to be a bit of a geek with television history because to understand the presence of how 34-year-old Vicki Lawrence was playing a 70-something-year-old mom whose children are played by actors that are 20, 30 years older than her, it's a suspension of disbelief. But the reason why the show worked was, and this is where, should we just get into the backstory of how Mama's Family came about?
Let's get into the backstory before we do, because otherwise I will forget. I do want to mention that today in the GG VIP Club's Rusty Anchor Happy Hour, and this feels so tiny now compared to Mama's Family, but we're watching a really fun clip of Betty White and a baby elephant. That's really
it's
all you
so
need to
cute.
Know. And you can go to patreon.com/Golden Girls Podcast to sign up. Okay, let's get into it.
I'm also sharing a really funny story about Mama's Family that isn't about Mama's Family and it involves a turtle. You'll laugh. In order to like really fully understand the importance of Mama's Family, you have to understand where it came from. So it was 1983, just a few years before that, it was the Carol Burnett Show. Vicki Lawrence and Carol Burnett and Harvey Korman and all of them had originated this role in a sketch, The Family, on the Carol Burnett Show. And it was massive. I mean, one of the most famous breaking bloopers ever comes from a Mama's Family sketch on, or a family sketch on Mama's Family. And so it was very familiar to people on television at that time. It was very familiar. And so it wasn't weird to see Vicki Lawrence playing this older character, even though we all know Vicki Lawrence at the time was this very young actor who had kind of been plucked out of high school by Carol Burnett to do the Carol Burnett Show. So she was sort of in the orbit of Carol Burnett, and that was just her career. And so for her to have this sitcom was a big deal. It was produced by, well, NBC put, it was Joe Hamilton, Carol Burnett's husband at the time, had produced it, and it had been on NBC, and it ran for NBC for 2 years. And the whole point of it was for Vicki Lawrence to have something of her own, because she had kind of been in the background of a lot of Harvey Korman and a lot of the other great people on Carol Burnett Show. And this was her product. And, you know, Harvey and Carol, they had all agreed to be guest starring roles in it. They would play the characters that they played on the Carol Burnett Show. But it really was going to be this own little world for Vicki Lawrence's character, Thelma Harper, and her three kids. And the whole premise of the show is that she's this, like, ornery, kind of mean mom. But at the end of the day, she also is very much like a nurturing, loving mom who just happens to wear her pantyhose rolled down and drink endless cans of beer and say very shocking, you know, absurd things. And that was the character. And Vicki Lawrence did it so well that, like, when people watched it at the time, it wasn't a shock. Now, how many years later?
To that, I do want to say, knowing that this came from a sketch on the Carol Burnett Show, mm-hmm. the suspension of disbelief, that wasn't really an issue for me, because the way I looked at it was the way that, like, when SNL sketches would become movies mm-hmm. and you're watching the Coneheads and you're like, wait, that's Dan Aykroyd and he's an alien. You're like, no. But that's just, you don't question it, because you're like, I know these characters from this sketch and now mm-hmm. they're living in kind of a different format, but I'm familiar with them and I'm okay with that. So I was sort of able to get past that aspect, knowing that this was a character that she had originated elsewhere.
Why this episode was particularly weird and why Stan probably had that reaction is because we're watching season one, episode three or four.
Three.
It's got three. The Wedding, part one. It's a two-parter, but we're only doing part one. We'll do part two next week, probably.
Yes.
And this one basically introduces you to all of the characters in Thelma Harper's world. And what's interesting about this, too, is that it wasn't necessarily a situation comedy in that the story didn't, like, you know how in other situation comedies, the story just kind of ends that episode and the next episode is just its own little story. And there, it doesn't really connect. The story doesn't connect episode
to episode. Yeah, it's episodic television. Yes.
Yeah,
it's
this serialized. Is not like that. This is not like that, because you kind of have to be following in a sort of way. You don't have to, but you do. Other things that happened in the past episode to understand what's going on in this episode. So they kind of did a different type of sitcom in a lot of ways, too.
Ooh, that's fun. They serialized it a little bit.
They did a little bit. And so with this episode, this is where we're meeting everybody. All of her children, all of her grandchildren, her neighbors, like literally everybody. And what's so fascinating about it is, yeah, if you don't know this sitcom, there's a lot of fucking characters. And it seems like all over the place. But for everyone in 1983 who loved Carol Burnett, and that was basically every single person watched the Carol Burnett Show, they saw these characters and they saw Carol Burnett, Harvey Korman, and Harvey wasn't in this first episode, but Carol Burnett and Vicki Lawrence, and they were like, okay, we want to see where this goes, because now they're watching a sketch basically with all these new characters, and the world has kind of exploded, and they haven't seen that for probably, I think the Carol Burnett Show went off the air in 78 or something. So, like, they hadn't seen that for 5 years. So this was, like, an exciting moment of television, you know? And I loved it. Oh, my God. My background with Mama's Family. So I have to tell you. So Mama's Family did something very interesting. It had only been on the air. It was a two-season run show on NBC. It got canceled by NBC. The ratings were, they were fine the first season. They got the second season. But by the second season, the ratings were not very good. However, in reruns in 1985, the show did very well, surprisingly, which everyone was sort of shocked by. But then Joe Hamilton teamed with Telepictures, and I forget the other studio, and came to Vicki Lawrence to do this thing of first run syndicated television, which was kind of a new thing in the 1980s. You think of Baywatch, that was a syndicated show. You think of a lot of sort of like Saved by the Bell was even, I think, a syndicated show as well. And so a lot of shows that didn't appear on primetime television, meaning from 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. on one of the networks, that's a syndicated show then, basically. And each market puts the show on whenever they kind of want to put the show on, whenever there's a spot in the thing. And Mama's Family, when it went into syndication, so it was off the air for 2 years, it came back for syndication. They agreed to do 100 episodes for syndication, and it became...
Because that's what you have to do for syndications. You have to do 100 episodes, yeah.
Yes, but they got a 100-episode order to get full syndication for past the 100. So they could have done more episodes, basically. Mm-hmm. But the order in the mid-80s was to do 100 episodes, which is wild because usually it's by season where you do 20 episodes, you might get renewed, and you want to get to that 100 number to get syndicated.
Yeah.
But these episodes were airing in the path to 100. So it was really interesting. They didn't produce all 100 episodes at once. And so what's so fascinating about it is it became so popular in syndication, and it became the most watched sitcom in syndication when it was on the air. And that was when I, as a very little kid, was watching the show being like, this is campy as hell. This is unlike any sitcom I've ever seen. These people are so over, there's the stories make no sense. The characters are so over the top. And I think as a kid, I just responded to, I related to it because Raytown, it's supposed to be set originally, I think Raytown, Mississippi for the Southern aspect, but Vicki Lawrence later confirmed it was Raytown, Missouri, which is a real place outside Kansas City, Missouri. And my family's from there. So in a weird way, I kind of just like responded to this show because the characters were so over the top. I had a big crush on Bubba in the later years during the syndication. Just Google a picture of Bubba from Mama's Family and you will understand everything. And I loved Naomi, you know, her daughter-in-law, and how she had like the off-the-shoulder dresses and the hair, and she was sort of dumb in a lot of ways.
She felt like, to me, what I see a lot of women in their 20s right now wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Like these sort of very simple sort of half hair up with like the high ponytail. Mm-hmm. Speaking of hair, can we just for a second, when I take showers right before we record, this happened and is now 2 weeks in a row where like I have a toddler, I get my showers where I can, but like my hair when it's wet, I always let it air dry, but I have like Amy Grant level curlage happening.
I
do feel like I'm ready to shoot like the Hearts in Motion album cover right now.
I think that's the second Amy Grant reference we've had in as many weeks.
Yeah, we do keep talking about Amy Grant.
The hair, though, because I was watching this and I called Michael out from the other room. I was like, you have to come here. And so he came out and I paused it to show him Betty White's hair, Rue McClanahan's hair, Naomi's hair, like all of the hair. And I was like, I want wigs of all of these hairstyles. Like, I need all of this hair for me.
Yeah, Rue McClanahan's hair was very uptight. Rue McClanahan's hair had a little bit of a stick up its ass. It was like real Frida Claxton vibes.
Yes, yes.
I wanted to point out now, so...
We should say who they play, too, who Rue and Betty play, because I feel like... It's
so Rue McClanahan is Aunt Fran, who's Mama's sister.
Yes.
And Betty White is Mama's daughter. So Rue McClanahan is playing Betty White's aunt on a television sitcom, which was wild to me. It was wild and it felt unacceptable.
But you know what? this is where you have to go back to 1983. It was not wild then because Rue McClanahan's age, because yes, she is younger than Betty White, but it wasn't wild because on Maude, Rue played someone who looked older, who was older, who was the same, who was equivalent to Bea Arthur in a lot of ways. So television audiences, and this goes back to our best of Rue McClanahan episode that we did, or the life of Rue McClanahan, excuse me.
We didn't do a life of Rue McClanahan.
Oh, wait. We did
a Life of Bea Arthur.
We did something with Rue McClanahan of her theater thing then, where it could have gone in a different direction.
Yes,
where,
we've talked about her theater career, yes.
And how television shaped Rue McClanahan in a way that originally put her into a box, which is her playing Blanche was allowing her to get out of that box. Because for, what, 15 years on television, I don't know, when did Maude start, 72? So yeah, for like 10, 12 years on television, Rue McClanahan was ostensibly forced to play older than who she is. I mean, on Murder, she wrote, the guest appearance she had on that. On Love, mm-hmm. on Love Boat, she always played older, kind of sometimes dowdier women or spinster or whatever. And she had that sort of stereotype. And I don't think at this point she was able to quite shake it, which is why Blanche is so revolutionary for her, is because she was able to shake it.
Betty White was 27 years older than Vicki Lawrence. This isn't like Estelle Getty, where, B. Arthur's a few months older than her, and they're putting Estelle Getty in a great wig and makeup. Vicki Lawrence's skin was flawless. She had that 33-year-old skin. And I was like, I am meant to believe that Betty White,
but you know how bad it would be.
Something year old Betty White is her daughter. This is crazy.
This is where fans of the Mama's Family are going to have to tell you to calm down on the CSI, because you have to put yourself in the mind frame of, we know this character from Carol Burnett. They aren't going for realism here. They are going for television nostalgia here.
But I just have to point out, for the people who may not have seen Mama's Family, I'm in the not your mama's family.
Yeah.
And I just have to point this out because it's wild.
It's wild
if you don't know Mama's Family.
But do you want someone who is young? Do you want a 22-year-old playing, or even a contemporary playing, her daughter? And at that time, was there an actress of caliber status to Betty White to play that character? I don't think so, because in these two episodes, this first episode we're watching at least, that character, Ellen, who plays, Vicki Lawrence's daughter, Ellen, there's three kids. There's Vinton, there's Ellen, and there's Eunice. And Eunice is played by Carol Burnett. Vinton's played by Ken Berry, who later guest starred on The Golden Girls. And then, of course, Betty White. And you need an actor who can compete with Carol Burnett. You need an actor who can keep up with Carol and be an equal to Carol Burnett. And I don't think if they cast a younger person, because you can't do this without Carol Burnett. You have to have Carol Burnett on this. She has to play Eunice. So you can't cast someone 30 years old to be a sister to Carol Burnett. You know what I mean? Like, the dynamics wouldn't work out. Even back then, if you were trying to go for realism, it wouldn't work.
Sure. The Carol Burnett of it all makes sense. You have to have people. So Rue McClanahan and Rue McClanahan and Betty White were never played those parts on the Carol Burnett show, correct?
No, they didn't.
Right.
They
didn't. Okay.
They were fully brought on for this, but they were contemporaries, obviously, and they did things with Carol Burnett, and they were, I mean, I don't think Rue did. Rue was very much a character actress at this point, but Betty certainly did. Betty certainly was in that mix of people, and she was a guest star. So she was using her Sue Ann Niven star status and her game show star status to help her friends, Vicki Lawrence and Harvey Korman and Carol Burnett and all these people. So, like, they all had stock. I mean, Carol Burnett, her husband produced this show. Like, there was a lot of stock in sort of making this show a success. And you want people like a famous Betty White to come in and do something like this. You want to bring that level of star power to it, And Harvey Korman directed a lot of these first season episodes. So, like, and even they later got rid of it for syndication and for streaming and for all of it. But Harvey Korman used to do a sort of like a Masterpiece Theater type opening for Mama's Family, where it was some absurd, like, pipe smoking, I guess, person who would like introduce, and it was so absurd, but it was so Carol Burnett show.
Right.
And so there was a lot of that in it. So you kind of, I'm really, I think for me, I'm defensive of the realism part here, because I'm like, you have to understand TV history sure. to really love Mama's Family.
Sure. And I'm sure that I'm going to get shit on by so many people who are like, you dumb bitch. Why weren't you watching Carol Burnett and Mama's Family?
They would
Why
never say
dinosaurs,
that.
Dinosaurs, you idiot.
I was watching Dinosaurs too. You can watch it all. You can watch it all, when, people.
I think we should take a little bit of a break. I do, when we come back, I do want to just point out so many of the Golden Girls references and crossovers. And I know you mm-hmm. do, too. And then we're going to dive into the episode.
Let's do it.
And we are back talking about Mama's Family. And everybody, let us know on socials. Where are you? Are you in the Mama's Family camp? Are you in not the Mama's Family camp?
Yeah.
Dinosaurs callback?
Well, because you know what's
not
so interesting
mama?
Is... And it is important.
Not the mama!
Thank
you.
It is important for you guys to let us know if you are in the Mama's Family camp, because there are so many amazing episodes involving Rue McClanahan, involving Betty White, and both of them together on Mama's Family in these first two seasons. Of course, they weren't on it after these first two seasons because they went on to do Golden Girls. But like, if you love Mama's Family and you want us to do more episodes of Mama's Family past these two episodes, let us know.
I'm down to do them because I loved how this was dripping with Golden Girls fandom. Mm-hmm. I really did.
It only gets better.
As much as I'm giving everybody a hard time about the ages and stuff, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I do.
The guest stars on this, there are so many guest stars from Golden Girls
yes.
on Mama's Family.
So I want to point out. So first, I do want to point out, Rue did 24 episodes. Betty did 16. Mm-hmm. And then of the Golden Girls guest stars who are also in Mama's Family, we've got Anne Haney, who played mm-hmm. Bonnie in the hospital room with Dorothy when she had foot surgery.
Yeah.
Earl Bowen, who played the Reverend. Al from The Stakeout. I'm so mm-hmm. crazy nuts about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Brown, Eric Brown, who yeah. plays Mama's son.
Yes.
He was the guy in the episode trying to sleep with Rose on New Year's Eve when Blanche mm-hmm. was trying to seduce virginly Fred Willard. And also Fred Willard was on Mama's Family.
Yeah.
Did I miss any?
So many.
There are maybe more.
You did miss. I mean, but you missed like smaller parts too that only Golden Girls people would freak out about. That literally, if you do a watch of Mama's Family as a Golden Girls fan, you just look for all of the guest stars. It will make you so happy.
I also read that, and I know we're saying that Rue McClanahan and Betty White left because of Golden Girls, but...
Well, they didn't. They left because it was canceled.
Okay. Oh, well, that would make sense. Well, here's what Rue McClanahan said. And was Rue McClanahan in less episodes? No, she was in more than Betty.
She was a series regular. Betty was a guest star.
So I think I pulled this from IMDb, so take it for a grain of salt, but... According to someone, Rue McClanahan once said in an interview that she left because, quote, they rewrote the character and I didn't know how to play her anymore. I had the way I played her, but when they changed it, it was difficult to play her after the rewrite. And then it says Aunt Fran was written out after season two.
Well, it could be that they asked her to come back for syndication because theoretically she could have done it, I guess, because it wasn't like a network show. But you can tell that the character of Fran in the first two seasons of Mama's Family became her neighbor, Iola, who, amazing actress. I'm blanking on her name right now. She's so, so good. And she played the neighbor, and she was sort of in the vein of Fran as well. So there, that could be what she's referring to.
Yeah, Rue McClanahan, by the time she was on Golden Girls, when you're a series regular on a TV show, those 9 months out of the year, you're not allowed to do anything else, which is why when they've got 3 months off, they may, in the summertime, they might do a movie or a thing here or there. But typically, I mean, I don't know, they were also really, really big stars. So maybe they would get permission.
They could have gotten allowance. Yeah, I'm sure.
But usually you're so busy, you don't have time to do anything else.
Yeah. Bea was doing those Shoppers Drug Mart commercials. So she got time off. You know,
I mean, I feel like Bea Arthur shot those
in a day.
She shot, 50 of them in 2 days up in Vancouver. It's been funny to see. I've posted a few of them on our socials because people have really been liking these like random commercials the women did. Yeah. And like one of our Canadian fans was like, it was always so wild to me to see these spots play on TV because I was like, this is Bea Arthur and she's doing Shoppers Drug Mart. What is
I
want
to go to Canada. We should bring the podcast to Canada.
Sure. Tell us what city you want us to come to and we'll think
Toronto.
About it. I'd like to go somewhere small. Okay. Let's talk about this episode.
Yes.
The Wedding Part 1. This was an episode, like I said, I always love a sitcom episode that feels like theater. This all takes place in real time, all in the house. It reminds me of Friends, the one where no one's ready, where I loved sitcom episodes that take place in real time, that it feels like theater. It's beautiful.
Can I give a backstory on how we got to this place? Because it's only been two episodes.
Yes.
So Vinton has to move in to Mama's. So it's just Mama and her sister Fran, her spinster sister Fran, living in the house. They're all happy. Mama's a widow. Fran has never been married. And she works. She's a writer. She works at the local newspaper. And they have a happy life. And then Vinton comes around and he got evicted, I think, somehow he got kicked out of his place. And of course, he's been divorced. And so he has to move in back in with Mama. So they all three of them move in. Over those two episodes before this, he meets Mama's next door neighbor, Naomi. And some love kindles, and that's how we get to this wedding. So they got married very quickly.
I mean, look at the Golden Girls. You know, Blanche was engaged in episode one. It literally is what kicked off the show.
Yeah.
So another thing I loved about this show, it reminded me of, I feel like sitcoms in the 70s, all these TV actors, they were all like the multi-hyphenate musical theater people. They were singers, actors, dancers.
Yeah.
Vinton comes in. He does this little bit where he's singing and dancing and playing the spoons while he's announcing that he's getting married. I was like, man, I miss these days. Like sitcom actors don't do this anymore.
Ken Berry is legendary as a dancer, but also just as just like a musical performer too. Like on television, on stage, Ken Berry has a crazy background. Just Google some shit about Ken Berry and your mind will be blown. You'll be like, it would be like seeing George Clooney do this shit today. Like it just wouldn't happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
Actors, performers don't do this stuff anymore.
No, they don't do multicams, but they do like splashy, cool Apple shows.
Well, but they don't have the talent. What I mean is that they don't have the multi-talented sort of like a Betty White. She was trained in everything. Bea Arthur was trained in everything. Ken Berry was trained in everything. Vicki Lawrence too. They could do, if you want them to tap, great, I'll tap on this episode. You want me to sing? Great, I'll sing on this episode. Like there was no fear. Modern actors don't do that.
I was just trying to picture like Joaquin Phoenix or Michael Shannon in a multicam on like a Chuck Lorre show.
Where they're forced to tap dance or
brothers.
Something. Yeah. And like they would spend a year learning how to tap dance.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, so Mama doesn't approve of this marriage because, you know, to Mama, no woman will ever be good enough for her son. And it's she was giving me real Dorothy vibes with Michael when he slept with Rose's daughter. Like, I mean, clearly your son's, sorry, I know you're obsessed with Michael, but like Michael's a little bit of a chump and to say like, no woman's good enough for my baby. It's like, come on, your kid's an idiot. Is the wedding taking place in the house? Is that why they're decorating?
Yes, the wedding
I love these budgetary things. Same thing with the Golden Girls. The original script, I think they were supposed to be getting, there was a scene out on a golf course in the original Golden Girls script. There was a scene at a chapel. And then, of course, it just ends up being in the house because budget.
Budget.
So I do want to talk about the way that they're decorating the house for the wedding.
It's so funny.
It's like, it's just pink and baby blue streamers. And those
it's like
little,
a baby. It's like a, it's a,
it's a baby shower.
And it's also, it's the trans pride, pride flag colors too. So
that's nice.
You know,
I like to think of it that way. Yes. We support, we are trans allies. I love that. Okay. I was like lame baby shower, but no, you're
right. I'm
into it.
It's actually
pretty great.
Yeah.
So Betty comes by, who's Mama's daughter.
Yeah.
And I did want to play, again, for maybe people who haven't seen Mama's Family or just want a little bit of a refresher, I did want to hear a little bit of Betty and Rue's Southern accents that they're kind of doing to match Mama. Mm-hmm. Like, Rue is definitely doing her Oklahoma accent.
Oh, yeah.
So I just wanted to play a little bit so you can kind of hear them together.
Well, the place looks real creepy.
Well, we barely got started. Sonia has some kind of a plan for it, but none of us knows what it is.
Well, I'll be with you tonight until you run out of crepe, since I won't be with you tomorrow.
What do you mean? Not be here for your own brother's wedding?
Oh, Mama, what does a wedding do? Just opens the door to unhappiness and disappointment.
Well, fine, then just turn your back on your family like you always have.
The creepy crepe plays.
Mama, Vicki Lawrence's voice in this sitcom reminds me of my Aunt Anne. And on You're Making It Worse, the other podcast I do, at the end of every episode, we ask each other, like, what would your aunt say about something that happened in this episode? And I always do it in the voice of Vicki Lawrence, basically.
Oh, that's fun. Can
but
you?
My Aunt Anne was nice. She was nice. So she wasn't as mean in her sound, but it's still, yeah.
Will you do your golden takeaway as Aunt
sure.
Anne?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Don't yeah. forget. I have the I mind of a goldfish, so I'll forget.
I won't. Let me write that down.
So Betty is coming over. She's very clearly distraught about
yeah.
something. And, you know, Mama kind of takes her into the kitchen to talk about it. And I have to say, I really related to the scene where Betty is trying to tell her mama about a problem she has.
Yeah.
Mama just kind of makes it about herself and really isn't listening.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Betty, yeah. I've been there. I feel you. And it's just so funny.
I mean, I feel like I have been there too. I feel like everyone in my family kind of does that. I mean, this is my family on so many levels, I have to say. It's kind of crazy.
I was like, wow, it's a very relatable thing.
Yeah.
So she tries to tell her, you know, she has a problem. Mom is not listening. We don't yet know what that problem is.
Well, and you can tell, too, for someone like Ellen, you know, and Betty White does it so well because it's almost a Sue Ann Nivens character in her sort of hoity-toityness. Like, you can tell she has that hoity-toity from her updo hair and all of the things. Like, you can tell there's something about this woman that thinks she's better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And in a weird way, the vulnerability of this moment is so out of character for this character that, like, you can feel her struggle here. That's how great of an actress Betty White is. You can feel that she really wants to get advice from her mom, and it just can't work.
It just can't work. Mama just, God bless her, but she just, yeah. she lacks that emotional mm-hmm. maturity, and that's okay for some people.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. So then there must be like a commercial break. We come back. The women mm-hmm. now have been drinking for a while. They're
oh my
having
God.
Fun. Rue's playing
Wait,
the piano. And
the women are drinking the bad wine that Naomi brought. And Mama, who she it's such what's so amazing about this script is it is so what an older mom would do. So like if someone brings out the wine and everyone in the room is like, oh sure, I'll have a little bit of wine, go and give me a little wine. Mama is so set in her ways that she's like, no, I don't want any of that wine. Don't give me any of that wine. No, put that wine over there, because don't be bringing me any of that wine. I don't want any of that wine. You know I don't want that wine. Like, she has to make sure that everyone knows she does not want wine. Why? Because Mama Harper drinks her beer. And mm-hmm. not just a beer, although she likes to pretend she is delicately drinking her beer, she is putting back a six-pack.
Like, respect, Mama, respect.
Respect.
I was also a little surprised at how drunk all the women are on one bottle of wine for those three women, but okay.
It's TV drunk. It's TV drunk.
It's TV drunk. So Rue is at the piano, mm-hmm. and in true Rusty Anchor fashion, they're singing a song that, well, I think we should just play the
yes.
moment.
Yes. We're going to take this sucker on the road.
I love it.
And what's so great about this is like, it's just Betty White is just so, she's in this dress that I don't necessarily think is the most flattering on her, but I also don't think Betty White ever wore mini form-fitting items. You know what I mean? She always sort of had like, it was always a little like poofy and a little sort of just like billowy, you know?
And yes. She would always have a bit of tightness under the bust line. Yes, yes. And then flowy. Yes.
Yes. Always flowy. So the outfit doesn't flow when she's dancing with Mama, but it is just, is she dancing with Mama? I forget. But it is so cute to see her just sort of just like dancing around having fun. I loved it so much.
When this scene was on, I was watching it with Stan. He's like got back problems because he's just chasing our kid around all day. And mm-hmm. he's like trying to stretch his back. And I was like, babe, the song that they're singing right now, they sang it on the Golden Girls at the Rusty. And he's like uh-huh.
I don't care. Just do it for your podcast. Save it.
I was like, Dorothy sang it. And Blanche was really jealous. It's like, my toddler, like when Oreo comes home and she tells us like what color cars she saw. And then I saw an orange car, and then I was walking and I saw a blue car. And then, that's how I felt. But no, he's very, very sweet.
Amazing.
So that moment, I like hard-hearted Hannah. I want to see that in a sitcom today. Someone put it in a sitcom today so we can and make it strictly a Golden Girls callback. That's yes. what I want to put out into the world. Well, that was my golden takeaway.
Yeah.
So we learn through the other characters that Ellen/Betty's husband is having an affair with his secretary.
Yes.
Betty doesn't know it's his secretary. She just thinks he's having an affair.
Well, and she even calls him in a moment to sort of like, you know, she's like, I bet he's not even at the office. And she gets mm-hmm. up to call him and he's there. There's such a good joke here. We don't have this clip, I don't think. But there's such a good joke here where she gets off the phone with her husband. He's at the office late with his secretary. And Betty's character goes, he was just at the office doing dictation with whatever his secretary's name is. Mm-hmm. And just the way she said dictation. There's a sex joke there. There's some mm-hmm. there's a dick joke there somehow that it was so subtle, but it literally the connection of the affair and her saying dictation, it just was perfect writing to me.
It was. Yeah. It like almost didn't even need a follow up joke because of the way mm-hmm. that she said it. It was so great. There's also a moment right before that where it felt like such a Golden Girls moment to me. The women were all sitting around talking about love and sex, mm-hmm. and it felt so Golden Girls to me. I want to play a little moment of that.
Yes, please. I love this moment.
I tell you what, I don't care what anybody says, there is nothing uglier than the sight of a naked man.
Now, personally, I find the male physique to have a certain symmetry and grace.
If you ask me, I think the smartest woman in this group is my Aunt Fran. For never getting married. Sooner or later, a husband always kicks you in the slats.
Okay, first off, Rue McClanahan loving the male form is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's foreshadowing on every level. I love that they got Mama Harper because I remember reading something because, yes, I have read Vicki Lawrence's biography. Thank you. Autobiography. And there was a moment in there where she talks about how they wanted her character. The writers wanted her character, Mama, to like have an affair or sleep with someone. And she was like, that is not what this woman would do. She is Bible Belt. She would not do that. So the fact that Thelma Harper is out there being like saying there's nothing uglier than a naked man, which is not true. For the record, I want that to go on the record for history for everybody. Please quote me. That is not true. But I love that Thelma Harper said that. I love it.
I love your insights as a huge. I'm getting more, I feel like, about these characters as you're kind
I'm
of
telling
talking
you,
about
I
them.
Know these characters so
I
well.
I love
but
it.
But I feel like I am so alone in this. I don't know. I don't have a gauge
on the Golden
Girls. Oh,
your people are out there. They're all going to weigh in the comments, and you're going to feel so loved. I do feel like if this were an episode of The Golden Girls, when Mama said, there's nothing uglier than the sight of a naked man. Mm-hmm. There would have been more if it were the Golden Girls. So she would have said, like, you know, just things dangling, and you know what I mean? Yeah, like that joke would have.
They would have milked it a little bit more.
Yeah. No,
that also is not a dick joke. So on that, it's a teat joke. Exactly. This is a clean podcast. This has never been a clean podcast. On that note, we do need to take a break because it is history known around the world that before Carol Burnett graces our screens, you have to take a break and come back and give her the start of the show. She is the thing you come back from break from. So we're taking a break for Carol Burnett. Pull your ears. Pull your ears. Okay, we are back. OMG, 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 because Carol Burnett. When I was a child, I had very little access to Carol Burnett because she's unique in television in that she doesn't like the Golden Girls. She doesn't have that show that is so easily in syndication or on television. It's hard to find. And Carol Burnett episodes, especially before YouTube, was like impossible to find. And so my only reference for Carol Burnett was a couple of things I would see, Annie, of course, and like a couple of other appearances on television. And everyone was obsessed with her, of course, but like I never really understood the comedy genius that is Carol Burnett. And then I saw her as Eunice on Mama's Family. And I believe this is her first appearance on the show. I could be wrong, but I believe it is. It's the third episode, so it must be. The force that Carol Burnett has as a comedic actor, the way in which pros like Vicki Lawrence, like Betty White, like Ken Berry, just kind of get out of the way and let Carol Burnett be Carol Burnett, and her vocal sort of Olympics that she does with her voice going high and low, and she's able to somehow work in a cartoonic response like to a normal line and turn it into literally the most camp, absurd, cartoonish sort of like response is and have it be sold, have it be realistic, have it work in the moment is just a feat that like you got to watch this episode for Carol Burnett because there is just something magical about seeing someone like that do what she did on this episode. You know what I mean?
I do. I thought her choices as an actor were wild and so fun to watch.
Yeah.
But also
dangerous too, because they're just so out of the blue. And they're not normal. Betty White is a great actor, but she's normal. Rue McClanahan is a great actor, but she's committing to the script. She's being normal. Carol Burnett is like, I'm going to make them laugh. And she's going to get out there and do it. And Vicki Lawrence keeps up with her, of course. And so does everyone else. But it's just watching her fight with Betty White in this scene was just something that I was like, you don't see this on television very much. This is rare.
Her entrance was great because all the other women, also this is an episode mostly of women. We see Vinton and his son at the very beginning and at the very end, but otherwise it's just girls. So the ladies have been drinking. They're all talking shit about Eunice.
Yeah.
And she's on the other side of the door listening. And then she comes in and I just like my butthole tightens at the thought of like, oh God, like, have you ever done that where it's like, oh, he's right behind me, isn't he? Or you accidentally texted someone talking crap and then realized that person was on the chain or something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because like I will admit, and that maybe this is a strength, maybe it's a weakness, I don't know. I'm not easily embarrassed. I'm not one of those people that like I'm just kind of like, yeah, I did it. Or you know what I mean? Like I'm just sort of one of those people that I don't really feel bad about those things. Maybe that means I don't have a soul.
No, it does mean it just means that you don't give a shit. And that's like pretty great because then you just let those things like fester and ruminate in your head.
Yeah,
you don't want that.
They don't fester for me.
They don't fester atoms for you. That's great. Well, Carol Burnett, basically, they've been talking shit about her. Basically, how she was making sheep sounds in a school play when her and Betty were younger. It was a whole thing.
Carol Burnett, I don't know. I'm sure it was scripted because the script seems amazing. But the way Carol Burnett, there are moments, it's still so funny, where she would just go, bah!
It was so good. It was so good. So they're all talking shit about her. So Carol Burnett comes in and she's basically like to Betty White, like, oh, yeah, OK, well, you know, your husband is fucking his secretary, right? At Annie's Midnight Motel, which sounds like the name of a place that Blanche would, you know, bring Fidel, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
So, but I do want to play a little bit of Betty and Carol Burnett fighting, because like you said, it's so brilliant to watch the two of them and the timing. And like you said, Carol Burnett's voice, it's vocal Olympics. It's vocal gymnastics. Yeah. There's something really magnificent about what she does with her voice. I agree with you.
All I was trying to do was lend this crummy affair some class.
All you ever wanted to do was be the center of attention. Oh, honestly, Eunice, don't you ever give up?
You're just jealous because my husband doesn't run around with other women.
Of course not. Who'd want him?
You take that back.
Damn it, Eunice, I have had enough. You've ruined everybody's evening. Now, why don't you just quit while you're ahead?
Oh, I see. Since I ruin everything, why don't I just not show up tomorrow, huh?
Well, if you're not going to be here, then there's no reason for me to stay away.
Well, then, if me not being here means that you are going to be here, then I am going to be here whether I want to or not.
Well, I'm going to be here.
Well, then I will see you.
I guess you will.
Well, I guess we'll all see everybody here. Just one big happy family.
And you will be with...
Even the way those lines are structured. I mean, sure, on paper, they make sense, but the way those actors... And I don't know if it was direction. It could have been. I don't know if Harvey directed this episode. I don't know if it was the actress choice. I have a feeling with Carol Burnett and a lot of those actors, it was a lot of collaboration and a lot of sort of talking about how we can make this better. Mm-hmm. And the way that those lines are layered on each other and the way that it doesn't feel like they're layered in a way that they're just improvising it. No, these are like intentional lines that they're saying because they're so specific in the like. It's not a normal sentence that Carol Burnett says in response to Betty White, but then Betty White says and also a not normal sentence on top of Carol's sentence. And it's just such good writing mixed with acting and directing and staging and every, because you see Mama right behind. I mean, it's just perfect. And for like someone who loves television and loves comedy and loves writing and also loves women of a certain age being amazing at what they do, this is my fucking catnip. This is me just being like, please, I want to watch it again and again and again.
Yeah, this is your please, sir, I want some more kind of moment. Yes. Yeah, yes. I get it. They are wonderful. It is what makes a multicam really great and really successful is that beautiful combination of the actors and the actors gelling with each other and the writing and the directing and really getting the most out of your actors. And they all did it so perfectly. And it really was fun to watch. And so after all of that, they're all fighting. Vinton comes home. He's been out drinking with his son this entire time and they're a little tipsy. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, and then we'll see you in part two, pretty much, which I guess is going to be the wedding.
A staple of this series that became sort of like a thing that fans of the show always look to is at the end of it, it always ends on like a Thelma Harper line, Vicki Lawrence saying something crazy or some reaction to something, but you don't see her saying it. It always cuts on a shot of the house. The house is in Pasadena, and also the house is... in Halloween too. It's one of her friends. It's one of the other Michael Myers houses.
I think I read about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it always ends on the shot of the house and then the line delivered over the shot of the house, almost like a postcard in a way, like a family postcard of this mayhem of this Harper family. And I love that because it's just, to me watching it, it reminds me of, cause I mean, I remember when and I'll share some of this on Rusty Anchor Happy Hour, but like my life at the time when I was watching this in syndication and then, of course, afterwards, as a kid was not great. It was very, very bad life happening, very bad situations happening with my dad, and there's lots of abuse and all kinds of crazy things. And I remember I would watch and I would obsess over things like Golden Girls or Mama's Family, and I would just sort of like, but Mama's Family was closer to me because it was in a weird way, like I could watch it at night and like I had taped episodes and like it was like a whole thing that I could just sort of watch over and over again. And so now I watch it and I like Golden Girls was sort of, I think Golden Girls, I didn't understand. This was so, Mama's Family is so simple that I could understand it at the age of six. You know what I mean?
Right.
Golden Girls, I couldn't. And so in a weird way, I watch this and I'm sort of reminded of like, this was my safety. This was my moment to sort of like not have the craziness of my life happening around me. And I would turn back to sort of Mama's Family or shows like that, that like, and so when I watched this, I was just sort of like reminded of like, thank you, Vicki Lawrence. Thank you for giving me that thing that you needed at that I needed at that moment before I could move in with my mom and life got better and all the things. But like, it was, it's just such a special show to me. So I love it. And I love that we covered it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. I hope someday you get to tell Vicki Lawrence that.
It's my
goal. How much she means to you.
I texted this. I followed her. I DM her all the time. She doesn't reply that much, but I, because she's Vicki Lawrence, she's very important. But I texted you this. It is my goal that I will get Vicki Lawrence on this podcast. I will.
We can only be so lucky.
I will. Oh my God. Did you ever watch Vicki Lawrence's talk show?
No, I didn't. But when I showed Stan after we finished watching the episode, I was like, do you want to see what Vicki Lawrence looks like today? And I sent him a photo of her and he was like blown away. He's like, oh my God, she looks amazing.
She's gorgeous. She's amazing. Yeah. But her talk show, there's a great clip of her and Rue McClanahan and Estelle Getty came. I think it was just the two of them were guests on Vicki Lawrence's talk show. And there's a great clip of them talking on Vicki Lawrence's show.
Oh, that's lovely. That could have been our Rusty Anchor happy hour tonight.
Well, I forgot about it. I didn't think
that's
I was,
okay. I'm I was, really excited to talk about Betty and the elephant. It's,
yeah.
Elephant assaults Johnny Carson, and it's really funny.
It's really funny. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back with our golden takeaways.
Great.
And we are back. We are back again with our golden takeaway, which is a nugget of truth or inspiration that you can apply to your life or perhaps the lives of our listeners. Carrie, what is your golden takeaway from this episode?
My golden takeaway comes from something that my friend Melanie Hamlet says all the time. You should all check out
name.
Her YouTube. Melanie we should have Hamlet. Melanie on the podcast. She's Melanie an amazing Hamlet. Writer. And comedian and storyteller. She's a former rock climber and whitewater rafter guide. Mm. Like one of the coolest, greatest people I've ever met.
I would love to know her thoughts on the Meryl Streep film, The River Wild.
Oh, I'm sure we could talk so much about The River Wild. I would love to just do a live watch along of The River Wild, if we're being honest. I saw that movie.
I love that movie so much.
I love it.
Much.
I saw
when
that
he pulls
movie
out the
theaters.
Gun, I was like, oh no, Kevin Bacon, don't do this to me, Kevin Bacon.
Well, spoilers. Oh, we're going to have to cut this part out. Well, I guess it's been a long time.
It's been 30 years.
So my golden takeaway is something that Melanie has always said.
Melanie Hamlet, with a name like that, you have to say her full name always.
Which is what Melanie Hamlet always said, yeah. Which is, and this goes to the Betty White story in this episode, which is, ladies, always listen to your gut. Mm. Don't listen to your heart. Don't listen to your friends or your family. Listen to your instincts and trust your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have to say, because I think Betty would have, in this situation, figured out and accepted a lot quicker that her husband was having an affair.
That's true.
That's my GT. What's yours?
Also, maybe just communicate more in relationships. You know, it's all the same. Okay. My golden takeaway. I always tell straight people that. I'm like, just talk about it. My golden takeaway from this episode, done in the voice of my Aunt Anne / Thelma Harper is, excuse me. Hey, y'all, I want y'all go watch this here show Mama's Family, because it is available on Pluto. Pluto. You can watch it on Pluto. Your Uncle Ray and I, we watch it on Pluto because we're called cord cutters. Cord cutters is what they call us. And so we stopped, but then we had to get a better internet service because our internet wasn't fast enough for Pluto because Pluto kept crashing. So I tried to watch it, but then I had to call Spectrum, and I was on the phone with Spectrum forever. And I thought I could do it myself, but I couldn't do it myself. So this young man had to come out, and oh, he was an attractive young man. And so I was sitting there with your Uncle Ray, and Uncle Ray was like, he knew what I was thinking because we've been married for 40 years. So he knows, you know, he knows what I'm thinking. And I just told this young man I need to watch Mama's Family. And well, the young man left, and I have thoughts of him to this day. Thank you.
We Aunt have Anne, to have Aunt Anne on the Aunt podcast. Anne,
oh, Aunt Anne is long dead. But oh. No, she's not dead. I know she's not dead. I don't think she's dead, actually. I don't know where she is. I don't know what's going on with Aunt Anne. We don't really talk. But
Okay.
But she's one of the more colorful people in my family. And she was always so nice, but she was also always so sexual. There was always like, everything she did, whenever I do a golden or whenever I do What Would Your Aunt Say on You're Making It Worse, and it's always we talk about sex and shit, and she'll always like confuse things. So if we'll talk about Grindr, the Aunt Anne version on You're Making It Worse for me is, well, I didn't even know that you could meet men with a pepper grinder. I'm gonna go and try that. I mean, I don't know what your Uncle Ray would think, but I'm gonna go try it. Is it the twist and motion that attracts them? I don't really know. it's just everything can be accidentally sexual in the world of Aunt Anne.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, Aunt Anne.
Yeah.
Aunt Anne, I love your pretzels. I love your take POV on life. Well, that was fantastic. I think that's the highest note that we could go out on this episode.
Yeah.
Everyone, thank go you watch so, Mama's so family. Much. Watch uh-oh. Mama's Family. And check out our GG VIP club. You can go over to patreon.com/GoldenGirlsPodcast. You can sign up for a free account, but you do get most of the content at the $5 and $8 a month tiers. And you're supporting our podcast when you support us on Patreon. And we really appreciate everybody else who's on Patreon right now. And then,
yeah,
want to tell people when this will be up on YouTube, the video?
Yeah, it'll be on the Mondays after. You know what we should start doing? We should start on the Patreon making the video episode public when on the Mondays, you know, after it airs and stuff. That way they can watch it on YouTube or on our Patreon as well.
Great.
But yes, on Mondays after the episode drops. So it drops on the podcast Wednesday and then the Mondays. Patreon people get it first. Because, you know, that's how these things work. I don't make the rules. And actually, I kind of do. And then the following Monday is when it is on YouTube. And it's so fun. Go like and subscribe. And what did the kids say on YouTube? Wait, remember to like and subscribe and leave a comment down below.
No, you got to say like, and remember, click that little bell so you're notified when new episodes come out.
And ring that little bell so you know.
Click
that bell. Ring the bell. I'm just going to be the Miss Piggy I want to be in the world.
Oh, you can come out. It's okay.
Okay, guys. Yes, but you can also follow us on... Well, we'll be doing part two of the Mama's Family Wedding episode next week. So much crazy shit happens. And also more Golden Girls guest stars happen on part
two. And
so.
I'm ready. I'm going to do your voice right now. And don't forget, we're part of MAM, that is Mogus of Media.
And
you can also subscribe to
Mom
Plus and check out all the other fabulous podcasts that they're doing over on Mom.
It's true. You should. We do good things. Also, you can follow us on social medias at Golden Girls Pod on the Twitters, out on the Lanai Officials, on the Instagrams, on Golden Girls Pod on the Face Pages. I think we might need a TikTok. What do you think? I don't know. We should talk about that.
And it's overwhelming.
Is it overwhelming? I mean, so
it's
am
overwhelming
I.
for me. I think about how many videos we've already posted on Instagram, and I think about having to post all of those on TikTok.
You don't have
Sam told
to.
Me
just
like
start
a month
fresh.
Ago.
Just start fresh. Just start fresh, baby. Just start fresh. I'll start it, and we'll just start
you
fresh.
You start it.
But yeah, no, I mean, you know, I just whatever. I'm H. Helen Scott, or I'll do it in a. And I'm H. Helen Scott / Sadie Pines on everything.
and I'm Squid Eat Squid on Twitter, and I'm Squidzy on Instagram. And if you have a moment, if you want to help us out, you can
help us out. Help us out.
You can, wherever you get your podcast, you can leave a rating and a review. Leave us 5 stars. Leave us 4 stars. Leave us 3 stars. However many stars you want to leave us, that's okay. As long as you just leave an honest review and rating, that'd be really good. We really appreciate it.
5 stars, though. Got to leave 5 stars because everyone knows that 5 is better than 4. And as always,
remember,
stay gold.
Stay golden. I went to college in Georgia.
Georgia.
Out on the Lanai is not endorsed by Whit Thomas Harris Productions, Touchstone Television, Disney, or any of its subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only.
All names, pictures, audio, and video clips of the Golden Girls are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and/or copyright holders.